Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you to the Well Worship. My name is Andy Banky. I'll be stepping in for Tom Bryant, who is away in Pennsylvania officiating at a wedding. So we'd like to welcome you to the church congregation worship today. A few announcements. Next Sunday, July 31st, we're going to have the postponed ice cream social and pool party at the Kurtz's. So that's still on, and it's going to be a nice day, right?
Yes.
All right. Also, September 10th, I'd like to invite everybody to Pastor's House for a barbecue church picnic at the Bryant's. And then October 9th, Brunswick Stew at Windy Roost. That is the date, so please put that on your calendar. Any more announcements for the congregation today?
Andy, I'm sorry, but I got a lunch.
Good.
You haven't turned in your newsletter, info, article, stick, or anything, if you send it to Katie or me this week, this is the week we work on it. My daddy asked me to put some flyers back there in case he's doing another seminar in August at a place in Glass. And he said y'all were so enthusiastic, in case you missed it or you wanted to pass it along, he's inviting you to come, and the information is on the table out there. The last time is 422, not 423. And on Friday, it is Jen's birthday. So pick up your phone and text the girl happy birthday. And let's see, I think that's all.
Well, thank you so much, Mona. Mona, you are a great keeper of us on track. And also, she reads minds well. She texted me all the hymns, and they were the perfect hymns that I wanted. So Mona has the Spirit of the Lord on her, sharing the music with us today. Any other announcements? Hearing none, any prayer requests? We want to continue to lift up Helen. Helen's doing better, I understand. Yeah, Dave, so we thank God for the healing in her life. Keep praying for her in Northern Virginia. Of course, we want to continue to pray for Tom and Sherry as they travel back to Virginia, that they might have a safe time. I'm wearing a little pin for my comrades in Moldova who are still suffering under war, and we also want to keep all those people that are in displaced places today. Any other particular requests? Yes.
Last Sunday, I mentioned that Nancy Turner has been in that prayer desk. I understand, and I can't verify for sure, but I understood that she would be leaving this Tuesday going to a hospital in Texas where they will evaluate her cancer condition and see if there's any treatment that can be done for her. So keep Nancy Turner in your prayers. Thank you.
We'll remember Nancy Turner in our prayers that she's traveling to a Texas hospital. I'm just repeating this because not everybody might have heard it, so thank you for that. Anyone else want to be left up in prayer this week? Okay. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you know all our heart's desires, you know all our fears, and you desire to have a relationship with us. You desire, Lord, to have a conversation with us because you love hearing from your children. And Lord, we thank you for the beauty of the summer day, for the freedoms we have in this country to come and worship at church. I pray for those who are in different countries that don't have that freedom, that are worried about rockets and missiles and oppression. We pray for peace in the earth. We also pray for peace in those hearts of those who are suffering in our congregation. We specifically lift up Helen as she continues to recover from her surgery, that she might be blessed with health and peace and wholeness. We also want to specifically lift up Nancy Turner, as she travels to Texas. Lord, would you give the doctors and nurses strength and wisdom, give her and her traveling companions hope and peace. Lord, we pray also for Tom as he travels back to Virginia, that he might be blessed, that he might know how much we love him as our pastor, and Sherry, his wife. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now let us enter into worship. In the name of the Father, the Son,
Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, wash our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Creating us to be in our Father God, and put a new and high spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
Now, so join me in the call to worship by reading in whole verse responsibly, Psalms 138. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your love and faithfulness.
For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing the praise of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly. He perceives the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
The Lord will make good his purpose for me. O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Your words, but my day.
first reading pointed for today in Genesis chapter 18. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking, will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." And he answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this very room and your presence, that we can come to you boldly and ask all these things. We thank you for a kind and loving Father who sent his Son Jesus Christ to forgive our sins and to give us new and free life, eternal life. Our hearts are full of joy and gladness this morning. Let us be filled with your presence as we have been given the gift to boldly pray the words you have given us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever.
Today's second reading is from Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. of thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine, O Lord. I trust, O Lord, from thee.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Thus saith the Lord.
Thanks be to Christ. Thank you. Please be seated. I was going to spend some time introducing myself and my credentials and why I'm here, but my wife, when I was reviewing this, said, you know, they all know who you are. You know, so don't bore them with all these details. And if they don't know who you are, they'll nudge the guy next to them and say, who is this guy? And they'll say, well, that's Andy Banky. So you just thank Ann for cutting 5 minutes off the message. Get right to it. You know, what do you think it is that defines a person as a Christian? You know, is there something that a Christian does you can say, yeah, that person's a Christian, that person's not a Christian? And there's several answers to that. You could say, well, going to church. You know, Christians go to church. But I think many of us, and not all of us, know there's a lot of people that go to church that aren't Christian, right? And actually, less and less people are going to church. A Pew Research study in 1999 asked how many people go to a church or a synagogue or a mosque, a place of worship, and the answer was 70% of Americans. And that poll was repeated in 2020, and that number is on 47%. So actually, y'all are in the minority, because you actually go to church. Well, hopefully, that doesn't mean Christians are down to 47%. I mean, know that, you know, there are a lot of Christians that don't go to church. Well, what else is it? Reading the Bible. Christians read the Bible. But again, you know, just reading the Bible doesn't make you a Christian. How about studying the Bible? If you're a Bible scholar, Christians study the Bible. They don't read it. And again, sadly, there's a lot of people that study the Bible and get their PhD and the doctor of religion and become chiefs of religious seminaries that don't believe that, number one, the Bible is real. They don't believe that any of the people were real. Moses, Abraham, Noah, these are all stories, and many of them some of them don't even believe Jesus was real. Jesus was just a sort of a conglomeration of ideas 2,000 years ago that people put together and wrapped around the story. It's a really cool story, but it's really not true. So how about Bible study in small group? You know, well, you go to a small group, you go to a women's group, you go to a men's group. But again, there's a lot of people that, I guess, go to these groups for community. So what is it that makes us a Christian? And I would say the answer is prayer. And if you've read the sermon title, I'm going to tell you the secret of prayer. Okay? So you got to wait to the end of it. You got to stay awake. I'll tell you the secret of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer isn't just saying the words. You know, you can say these prayers, these words, but if you're just saying them to say them, you're really kind of just talking to the wall, right? That's really not prayer. And prayer is also not meditation. Meditation is different. I'm a physician by trade, and a lot of people that come with anxiety and other problems, and they can't control the thoughts that are in their heads, and it overwhelms them. So I say, you know, maybe just take some time to relax and to focus and be mindful. One technique I have is just count to 100. Whenever that anxious thought comes in, say, okay, when I get to 100, you'll be okay. So, 1, 2, 3. And sometimes it's a mantra that you use to sort of just focus your mind. And that's very helpful. I encourage you to meditate, but that's not prayer. Prayer is talking to someone else that you can't see. So in order to pray, you have to believe that there is a God, that someone is there listening and you're talking to. Prayer goes outward. With prayer, you're trying to seek a connection with someone. And it's not to recite magic words. There's a tradition in the Catholic Church, and it's a good tradition, of the rosary, and there's these beads, and there's different prayers and mysteries, and you sort of count 5 Our Fathers and 3 Hail Marys, and then a mystery, and you go through that. And there's nothing wrong with repetition as long as it doesn't become rote. We know that just repeating a prayer for you know, our own sake is not good. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, and when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard by the many words. What does God want? God doesn't want a formula. God wants to have a conversation with us. The great Russian writer, Leo Tolstoy, writes a story to accentuate this point, and let me just summarize it. A bishop and several pilgrims were traveling on a fishing boat. And during the voyage, the bishop finds out on a remote island, there are 3 old hermits that live a Spartan existence and are trying to seek salvation for their soul. So the bishop tells the captain, hey, I want to go and see those guys. But the captain says, you know, those old men are not worth your pains. I have heard that they're foolish old fellows. They don't understand anything. And it's not worth it. But the bishop insists, and he goes to the island and he sees the hermits. And he asks them how they are seeking salvation and serving God. And the hermits reply that they don't know, but they only pray this one prayer from their heart. 3 are you, 3 are we, have mercy on us. When the bishop acknowledges they have little knowledge but are ignorant of the true meaning of the doctrine of how to pray properly, and he tells them that he will teach them the way in which God in the Holy Scriptures has commanded all men to pray to him, and he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. But the simple hermits blunder and cannot remember the words. This compels the bishop to repeat the lesson late into the night. And after he is satisfied they have memorized the prayer, the bishop departs from the island, leaving the hermits with a firm instruction to pray as he has taught them, the Lord's Prayer. The bishop returns to the fisherman's village, to the boat, and continues his voyage. While on board, the bishop notices their vessel is being followed. At first he thinks the boat is behind them, but soon he realizes that the 3 hermits are running across the surface of the water as though it were dry land. The hermits catch up to the vessel as the captain stops the boat and informs the bishop, we've forgotten your teaching, servant of God. As long as we kept repeating it, we remembered it, but we stopped saying for a time, the word dropped out, and now it's all gone to pieces. We can't remember nothing of it. Teach us again. And the bishop is humbled and replies to the hermits, your own prayer from the heart will reach the Lord, men of God. It is not for me to teach you. Pray for us sinners. And after that, the hermits turn around and walk back to the island. God doesn't want us to repeat something by rote. He wants a conversation with us. He wants a conversation. Just as Judy read in the Old Testament. Some people say that Abraham sort of bargained God down, 50 to 40 to 30. I don't think that's true. Often God knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew he wasn't going to spare Sodom for 10 people, and that was Abraham Lot's family. But he wanted to have a relationship. Some of you may have traveled to other countries, European, Asian, or Latin countries, and sometimes the commerce doesn't work like it does here. You know, here we go, we want to buy a shirt. Shirt's $20, $20, okay. No. You know, sometimes in these countries you go and you see a shirt. You say, how much is the shirt? And the guy says, it's $40. And you can't pay him the $40. That would be an insult. You got to say, oh, no, that's too much. And you start walking out of the store. And then he says, no, no, sir, come back. You're a nice guy. For you, special day. Special today. $30. Oh, no, I'll give you $10. Oh, I didn't think I'd get about $20, which is what the guy wanted anyway. Well, what do they want? They want that relationship. They want to have a conversation. God wants us to talk to him out of our hearts, not because of responsibility, not because we have to. So we have this prayer called the Lord's Prayer. Actually, you know, the Lord's Prayer is actually in two different parts of the scriptures. It's in Luke that we read today, but it's also in Matthew. And the Luke version actually has things that are missing. Thy will be done is not in the Lucan passage. Why is that? We don't know. Some people say it's just the interpretation that each person had. Some people say there were two Lord's Prayer. One that's recorded in Matthew, one's recorded in Luke. Whatever it is, we don't know. And actually, the version we have today is not in the Bible at all. It was actually made in about the first century with a group of disciples when they read it in the Didache. So, you know, it has the same meaning, but it's in different places. And it's really not the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer. And it's a great prayer because sometimes we don't know how to even start. What are the agenda? What does God want to talk about? And so God gives us this example of how to have a prayer. What are the talking points when we talk to God about? There's a lot here, and I could spend another hour or two talking about it, but I won't. I'm going to just really try to compact this. If you really want to go through the Lord's Prayer more in detail, I recommend the Small Catechism by Luther. It does a great job. It's kind of older. Modern translation is good, and that's a good thing. Because we memorize the Lord's Prayer in ancient English. Hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? How many times do you say Hallowed? You don't say Hallowed. You know what does it mean? That God is like hollow inside? You know? No. Hallowed means to be holy, to be great. Lord, how can we make your name great? And what does the name mean? Does that mean you don't swear? You know, hallowed be your name, I'm not going to swear. No, back in the ancient Near East, their name meant everything about you, your character, who you are, your trustworthiness. Your name was so important. So basically, God, how can I make your name great? How can I do that? And we see that in the psalm. What did the psalm read today? I praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will praise you. I'll bow down toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name. Praise the name of the God. Verse 3, when I called, you answered me, and you greatly emboldened me. God will answer you. And that's why we come boldly to pray the Lord's Prayer. How does God's name become great among us? Simply, when both our lives and our teaching are godly and Christian. So you want to glorify God? Glorify his name in your life. Now, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Again, the thy will be done is not in the Luke passage, but they're sort of the same thing. And again, when you look at this, you're like, of course, God's kingdom's going to be done, and God's will's going to be done whether we want to or not. It's not like, you know, we allow God to do that. But again, I don't think that's what the passage means. I think it's a personal prayer. Lord, what can you do in my life to show your kingdom? Lord, how can I surrender my will and let your will be done? Not my will, not my enemy's will, not anyone else's will, but your will. Can I give that up so that God's name will flourish in my life? When we get through this petitions, the three petitions with God, and we brought his name in our life, we brought God in heaven down to earth, God gives us petitions for ourselves. And the first one is, give us our daily bread. Now, during Lent, we all try to give up something, chocolate or liquor or candy or whatever, right? I wanted to give up something, but I don't like to give up everything totally, you know? Because if you give up chocolate, you're like, oh, I want a piece of chocolate. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to limit my calories and my carbohydrates. And I got this little thing, this little app, and put down this, and so many calories, so many carbs a day, which actually worked good. It was kind of good. I lost some weight, and it was a good thing. But I would pray this prayer in the morning, and I would get to give us our daily bread. And then I would also add this little, but not too much. Do you know how many carbs are in bread? You know, it's like crazy. You know, no bagels, no nothing like that. And I think, you know, again, ancient Near East understanding of bread is different than today. Because back in those days, they didn't have McDonald's or Chick-fil-A. And really, the best way to get food was bread. It was cheap, it was relatively abundant, it was easy to make, easy to store. So bread was sort of symbolic of life. And also to realize who Jesus is talking to in the first century, it was Jewish people, and what they thought when they heard daily bread, the first thing that came to their mind was what? Moses and manna. You know, God gives us what we need, everything we need for today. What happened if they kept the manna an extra day? It spoiled, it rotted. They just needed it for one day. So this prayer is not just for bread, for, you know, Wonder Bread or bagels. It's for everything that our body needs in life. It's simple, but it's comprehensive. For if God did not cause the grain to grow, did not bless it and preserve it in the field, we couldn't have a loaf of bread to set on the table. It includes everything that belongs to our life. Not only for our sake, but we need the daily bread. Now, life requires not only food and clothing, but other necessities for our body, such as peace and concord in our daily activities, associations, and situations of every sort, with the people among whom we live and who we interact. In short, give us everything that pertains to the regulation of both our domestic and our civil and political affairs. Luther even goes on to say that this prayer for daily bread is a prayer for our government. And we should especially pray for our governments. For even though it is God who gives us all good things, we cannot keep or enjoy them without a stable, peaceful society where war and poverty prevail, daily bread does not. So God cares for everything about us, not just bread. He cares for our life, and he wants to have it abundantly. And he wants us to ask for those things. He desires them. Now, the next petition is probably one of the hardest. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, when you look at that, you can interpret it as we forgive in terms of a quantity. So if I forgive 10 people, right, God's going to forgive me 10 sins. The problem with that is I sin like 1,000 times a day, and I can't, like, forgive 1,000 people because it's just I'm human. But I think the key to that is as. What does as mean? It can mean in the same measure, or it can mean in the same manner. For example, when I'm teaching my son how to swing a bat, I say, hey John, swing the bat as I'm swinging, right? Or when David Kinzer tells me how to swing the golf club as I'm swinging, right? Not how many times I'm swinging it, but in the right manner that I'm swinging it. And I think that helps us understand it. As we forgive each other, we are sharing God's forgiveness. Now, some people translate that transgressions into debts. And I use the transgression, that's how I was brought up. But I think debts is important because we're called to love one another. And Jesus in this passage doesn't say, you know, love one another. He says, forgive one another. And I think he says that forgiveness is probably one of the hardest things we do. Debts. We're owed a lot of debts. We're owed money. We're owed quality merchandise that we paid for. And when it's substandard, you owe me. You owe me the difference. We're owed apologies when people transgress against us. We're owed commitments. You said you were going to be there for me. You owe that to me. And when we have these debts and don't pay, and they're not paid, it bothers us. Alexander Pope was a bright writer in the 18th century, Britain, a Catholic writer, and he talked a little bit about this. What is the consequence of getting slighted, getting gypped, getting cheated? And he says that when that happens, when we're wronged, when we lose or we're offended, we often criticize. We don't get mad, we get even. You know, whether it's, you know, physically or legally or just bitterly, and we criticize those people. They owe us. The problem with criticism, it leads to bitterness, and it leads to anger. And in this article about an essay on criticism, he writes, and I know you'll know this once I say it, this great line, to err is human, to forgive, divine. you want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ even more effectively than going out and knocking on doors and handing out tracts that have the four spiritual laws, find a fault that you can forgive. And as you forgive, and God gives you the power to forgive, you will be reclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. Now, I know this isn't easy. Maybe it takes a long time. But start small. And use the ministry of forgiveness. Luther says that if we forgive each other, it's just as much as a sign of our salvation as baptism or communion. So that's definitely high praise. Put us not to the test. Again, one of those things like, why would God put us to the test? He's not that kind of God. And I think my interpretation, others have said, it's really not put us to the test, but Lord, keep us from the trial. We're weak. We're going to fail. Keep us from those hard trials, you know, maybe a little bit one. And God knows that, and God wants us to be there. He also, we want to pray to keep us from the devil, because the devil will try to rob our joy and teach us wrong. Now, the last part of the Lord's Prayer, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, is called the doxology. And that's not in the Bible at all. That's totally added later. In fact, if you go to some Roman churches, the priest will actually stop the Lord's Prayer at the last petition, deliver us from evil, and then maybe say the doxology later. But Luther says, and Luther's a pretty sharp guy, there's one word in the whole doxology that is the most important word in the whole Lord's Prayer. And that is amen. Because amen, it doesn't mean the end. Amen is a sign, yes, I truly believe this. I'm not just saying this. This is part of who I am. And believing prayer makes the prayer real. So make sure you say the amen. So when we have this prayer, model of prayer, Jesus goes on in the gospel to sort of give us a couple lessons of what this prayer is like. And I love the story, and the word, again, it's one of those English words that you don't really know a lot. This guy, you know, his neighbor comes and knocks on the door and says, hey, can you come in and have a meal? Oh, yeah, great, sure, come in. I don't need food, but I'll talk to my buddy. He's a good guy. He'll let me have some food. So you knock on his door and say, oh, come on, this guy's come in. It's midnight. Oh, come on, the door's locked. Kids are in bed. Oh, come on, seriously, I know you're a good guy. Please, 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 I'll do it. So he does it. He does it because of his, and the word is impudence. I have no idea what that means. Yeah. And if anyone else does, you're smarter than I am. Wayne probably knows. Wayne knows everything. All right. It could be persistence, but I think a better way is boldness. We're not going to wear God out. God wants us to keep asking. And we keep asking because, you know, eventually God's got to answer us. We have that faith. Yeah, God wants to be pursued sometimes. Yeah, he does. You know? I think of like how Mary prayed or asked Jesus at the wedding of Cana. She comes to him and she says, hey, you know, they're out of wine, thinking he's going to do something. And he says, you know, just my time has not come. And what does she say? Do whatever he says. I trust. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know he is going to take care of it. God will take care of it. Yes, I know it might be the third or fourth or 500th time you've prayed. But God will answer. We are bold to talk to him because he loves us. And what is he going to do? What kind of gifts is he going to give us? You know, when I read the second part of this gospel message, it kind of like bothers me a little bit because the images are kind of like gross. You know, like, we got kids, you know, kids are great. Your kid wants to eat, you're going to give him something to eat, you know? You're not going to give your kid a spider or a snake or a scorpion. Like, what kind of person would do that, you know? We love our kids. We're going to give them good stuff. And God's going to give us great stuff. We ask for bread, he's going to give us a cake, man, you know? We ask for a fish, he's going to give us, you know, salmon wrapped in crab meat and all that kind of good stuff. God's going to give us good stuff. But sometimes, you know, we ask for the snake. We ask for the scorpion. And what does God say? To any good father or mother, and their kids would ask for something dangerous. No, that's not good for you. And we get upset. God didn't give me what I wanted. I wanted this thing. I know it's good for me. It's good. God's not giving to me. There must not be a God. No. God knows exactly what's good for you. He's not going to give you a snake. He's not going to give you a scorpion, even if he asks for it. He's going to give you what's good for you. He's even going to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to come in you and give you all peace. So, how do we do this in practical life? Well, again, as Paul said in Colossians, we continue to live our lives with him. The Greek word is peripato. It means to walk along. Pray continuously. Pray just like you're talking to your best friend. Live a life entered with Christ. I'm so glad that Mona talked about the prayer seminar that her father's doing. I've been to part of it, and it's great. And people spend their lives, as he has, talking and encouraging us to pray. But, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to get the whole thing. I'm going to tell you the secret of prayer. You wake up now, okay? Almost done. Secret of prayer. And actually, it's just one word. So the secret of prayer. You ready, everybody? The secret of prayer is to pray. Because the more you pray, the more you spend time with God, the more you ask him to be in your life, to reveal himself to you, to give you the strength to forgive, to carry on, the more you're going to be in him, he's going to be in you, and the more you're going to want to pray. There was a man named Eugene Peterson, and he wrote a paraphrase of the Bible. It's not a translation, it's a paraphrase. And sometimes paraphrases are good when you get like a fresh approach to something. So I'd like to end with his paraphrase of the Lord's Prayer. Maybe it'll give you a little bit fresh approach to this. And I've added a few extra words that are, I think, appropriate in my life. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are to me. Set the world right in my life. Do as you think's best, Lord. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving each other. Keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil. God, you're in charge. You can do anything you want. And you are ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Please rise with me and we'll share in our creed of the Apostles' Creed. Together, church, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You can be seated. If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Hallowed be your name, Heavenly Father, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. You formed a people for yourself and called them your children. You delivered them from evil and saved them in the time of trial. Once we were no people, but now we are your people. Because in the fullness of time you sent your Son to forgive us our trespasses through the blood of his cross, and in your Holy Spirit you give us power to forgive those who trespass against us. And so we gladly praise you with your people on earth and all the company of heaven as we join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of blessing, you promise that as you give us our daily bread, so you shall feed us with the bread of life for eternity. Come down upon your church in the power of your Holy Spirit, that as we remember your Son's saving passion and resurrection and share this holy meal, we may become bread for you, for your hungry world. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the body and the blood of your Son, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to you, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Giver of every good and perfect gift, you promise that everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who seeks will find, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Send your blessing upon those who ask for what you alone can give. Pour your grace upon any who search and upon all who long to be found. Give perseverance to those who knock in the door of justice. As you dwelt bodily in your Son in all your fullness, dwell in your church today, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, those who are called the children of the living God may know your resurrecting power, until the day when your kingdom comes and your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Most holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The table is set for all those who love the Lord in truth and sincerity. Let us come and receive.
Thank you.
Encouraging us to pray to you, our Father, who loves us in all things. Strengthen the body of Christ as we go forth in the world to proclaim your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise and sing together the hymn 422.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. The service is ended. Help me out here, guys.
Go in peace.
Go in peace.